The Innocent, Chapter 14. John had only been gone from the room for about 20 minutes, while he fought a determined battle with Missouri's ancient shower, but it felt decidedly different when he returned. The wind had picked up, and he found himself frowning at the open window. It was hot. The fresh air was welcome, but an open window was an invitation. Even with the charms and sigils spread liberally around the house, he wasn't prepared to take the chance. The drapes danced at the window, but he was happy to see that all the salt line on the sill was still intact as he closed the opening to the outside world. He moved towards a thin mattress that sat on top of the rickety metal frame and lowered himself wearily onto it. It had been a long day, and, as he looked across at his son, he realized that it may not be over yet. There was just enough light coming in from the streetlight from outside for him to be able to make out Dean on the bed. Even though he could see light reflected in his son's eyes, his boy didn't speak, didn't acknowledge that his dad was there.
"You should be asleep, Dean."
It sounded harsher than he intended. The eyes closed briefly before opening to once again stare at the empty space just below the ceiling. He didn't want to have this conversation, didn't want Dean to think that he was angry, but the words were escaping before he could rein them in.
"You could have told me, you know. You should have."
Again, no reply from Dean, but he saw the boy's lower lip disappear between his teeth, a habit that he hadn't ever grown out of, and that broadcast the fact that he was thinking, that he was worried.
"I would never have blamed you. Or been angry at you. A gift like the one you have, it's like Missouri's. The gift isn't evil, Dean. It only becomes evil if you use it the wrong way."
John stood up and moved towards his unresponsive child, sitting carefully on the edge of the bed.
"Talk to me, Dean."
John saw his son's eyes move, a quick glance in his direction, and then back towards the ceiling. John rested his hand on Dean's shoulder. He didn't say anything. He'd take only what Dean wanted to give. No pressure.
"Did you hate me?"
Dean sounded all of about 10 years old, and he exhaled a breath he didn't know he was holding.
"Never, Dean. You know that, don't you?"
His question was greeted with silence, and he sighed. Deserting his boy for the better part of 4 years wasn't exactly going to win him any Father of the Year prizes, was it? He hadn't been a wonderful father even without that hanging over him, but both his boys had to know that he loved them. They had to. Yet they'd both felt the need to keep secrets. Sam's was college, and Dean's. Dean had been hiding his whole life.
"I'm never going to hate you, son. Never. Sometimes I make mistakes. It happens. I'm human, despite rumors to the contrary."
The injected humor didn't materialize into anything other than a half-hearted chuckle on his part.
"I don't mean for either you or Sammy to get hurt, but I know it happens. Your mother always knew when I was sorry, Dean. I never had to say the word. It's not an excuse, it's just that I never learned how. Not really. It's easier to apologize when you've dropped a plate or bumped into someone. But when it's the emotional stuff, when it's something that really matters, I don't do that. Hurting you, it was never intentional."
"Lying there, John," he chastised himself. "You knew exactly what you were doing when you left him at Fieldcrest, and don't you dare deny it."
"I never meant to hurt you. I just didn't know what else to do."
Dean's eyes flickered towards him, but he didn't make a sound. Shit. Looks like it's a night for confessions.
"Do you think that me sending you to Fairview was because I didn't care?"
John decided not to wait for an answer.
"I couldn't keep you safe, son. I couldn't keep you safe. Sam and me, we may not have visited as often as we should, but please don't think we were trying to forget you."
He fought the urge to touch his son and smiled.
"I mean, how the hell could you ever be forgotten?"
John adjusted his body on the bed
made himself more comfortable as he carried on talking, hoping that Dean really was listening, and that he'd never have to think about one of the worst periods of his life ever again. He maneuvered himself so that his back was against the headboard. Dean moved slightly, further away, making room for him, balancing precariously on the end of the bed. John took Dean's movement as an invitation to continue.
"I don't know how much you remember about the early days after your accident. I should have spoken to you about this before, but it hurt, Dean. It really did. Right at the beginning, you didn't know me or your brother. You didn't talk at all, and the doctors, they said that you probably never walked. You showed them, though, eh? Always knew you were stubborn, a fighter. But even with the progress you were making, it was slow. So slow. You've been able to protect yourself since you were 10 years old. Worked like hell to make sure your brother was safe, too, but after... We've made enough enemies, Dean. There were enough things out there that would have taken advantage of you being helpless. You can't deny it, son. You were.
Dean's eyes were still open, blinking occasionally, but other than that, he didn't acknowledge him.
Fairview was a perfect town, you know? Except for the high school gym teacher disappearing with the vice principal.
The sigh almost filled the room.
Guilt.
John felt the need to hold his boy, to hold him like he'd not done in so long, but he didn't. He didn't know whether it would be welcome.
Guilt kept us away. Both of us. Though Sam's never really told me about what runs through his head, I could tell.
He bites his lip, fighting to hold back tears that were attempting to escape, that had been threatening to do so for days.
I should have been able to protect you. I got you into that situation. Damn it, boy, I got you into this life. I'm responsible, and every time I saw you, every time, I felt like I was failing you even more. And Sammy, he never got over the fact that you got hurt saving him. Saving him like I never managed to save you.
Dean was looking at him then, a small frown furrowing his brow. John didn't notice that the tears had managed to slip past his defenses, but his son had. The birds woke him up the next morning, birds and the fact that his back was sending signals to his brain that it didn't like the camp bed he'd moved to in the early hours. He'd fallen asleep on Dean's bed, and John had woken to find that Dean had been right there, curled up next to him, just like when he'd been little. A fleeting memory of his baby boy, falling asleep as soon as he held him next to his chest, brought a bittersweet smile to his face. He'd moved carefully, determined not to wake his son, and he'd settled back into the metallic contraption carefully, grateful that his son hadn't even stirred. He looked across at his sleeping boy now, relieved that he could sleep. Years on the road meant that Dean had become a light sleeper, his senses always on alert, always ready to cope with the adrenaline rush that accompanied consciousness whenever he was woken up suddenly, unless, of course, it was either he or Sammy that had done the waking. He seemed to be able to sense if it was family waking him up before he'd risen from the depths of sleep, and on those days it could take minutes, and a less-than-healthy dose of strong coffee, enough to stand the spoon up in to get him to come to his senses. Dean had learned to take sleep when he could, grabbing a few hours whenever he could slip them in, but when the hunt was finished, his body called in the debt it was owed and made him repay it with interest. Now there was no debt. Now there was just a good, healthy 8 hours of sleep a night, more than Dean had ever been able to get on a regular basis since he was a child. He didn't need to be silenced leaving the room, but he was. Missouri was already up and about when John reached the kitchen, coffee already brewing. John blessed the woman silently and poured himself a cup. He couldn't tell where she was, but as her car was still on the drive, she couldn't be far. He picked up his phone and began calling every hunter he was still on speaking terms with, and a few he wasn't. One name was mentioned more than once,
someone who may be able to help, someone that was considered a crazy by many, but respected, nevertheless. He had a name. The question, though, was where to find this oracle of knowledge. In the end, both Jim and Bobby suggested the same thing. Harvell's. It had been a while since he'd seen Bill Harvell, but he'd only ever been to the Roadhouse once, and he'd never usually considered taking his boys there. Hunters could be untrustworthy and dangerous, not people you wanted your kids to hang around with. But he couldn't deny the value of both men's suggestions. Hunters came and went at Harvell's all the time. It was a network of people who, between them, had amassed so much knowledge of the supernatural world, he couldn't really think about dismissing the place as a chance for his boy. Maybe they didn't need to know about Dean's gift, though. Nah, maybe that wouldn't be so good. Some hunters saw things in black and white, no shades of gray. Men like that could be more than just a little dangerous if they considered that the supernatural world had an influence on Dean. Missouri knew they were leaving even before John had finished his first cup of coffee. She'd insisted, though, that there was no way those boys were leaving her home until they had a decent breakfast. No way at all. And John was not going to argue with her. She closed the door inside. She knew they had to go. Knew she couldn't keep them, but still, she felt that there was something unfinished. Something she could have done to help. Dean, he'd hardly spoken two words all morning. Instead, he'd watched his father and brother as they ate, waiting for one of them to begin a conversation that didn't happen. Dean hadn't mentioned his mother being amongst the visitors last night. She couldn't blame him, really. John would have been sidetracked, would have wanted to have spoken to her. She rubbed her hand over her face, glancing at the clock on the wall. She had an appointment in a little over 10 minutes. She had just about enough time to get ready for it.